I was kind of hearing, if the preacher's in the way, we will leave him on the road. That's kind of what I was hearing. Well, good morning. And Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you're having a great day. If you're here with us today, you are having a great day. I just want you to know that. I'm so glad that you're here. We've got a lot of faces that I don't know that are new here today. They're in visiting family, and I want to meet all of you. So look me up afterwards. I'll be out here somewhere. Just find me and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet all of you. So glad that you're with us today. So glad that you're here. It's always good to be with friends and family. And notice how I said family, because you're here with family. Amen. All of us are a part of your family. And so we are thankful that you are here with us today. We sure are. Thank you so much for your words this morning about Jesus and his birth and the Lord's Supper. Because you're exactly right. If Jesus hadn't come, he couldn't have died for us. And therefore, we would not have hope of eternal salvation. So that's where that comes from. That's exactly right. And what you were talking about how we often would just completely ignore Christmas. You know, when I was younger, that's what everybody did. I really think that's not the way we should do it. And I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute, okay? This time of year is a time of year that everybody's thinking about Jesus and his birth. Everybody is thinking about that. You go to the stores and they've got everything up. They've got all these Christmas lights and all this stuff. And if you're married to somebody like I'm married to, she starts playing Christmas music in July. And she wants to put up the Christmas tree and everything like that as soon as possible. You know, and I make her wait until at least the week of Thanksgiving before we put anything up. And she hates to take it down. She doesn't want to take it down. And one of the things that she makes me do every year is watch all these movies. And I go to bed at night sometimes with this ringing in my head. Merry Christmas, old building and loan. Yeah. The one of my favorites. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. My son didn't do that when I gave him a BB gun. He shot the window out on my truck. Okay. Yeah, and then somehow I got blamed for that. I don't know how I got blamed for that, but I got blamed for that, for giving my son a BB gun. Yeah. And leaving him alone to shoot the BB gun. I shouldn't have done that.
6 years old.
Yeah. See, I'm still getting blamed for that. And my son's what, 28? 29 years old, and I'm still getting blamed for that when he was 6. So realize that all these things take place. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. You know, all these great shows. And remember, my favorite. What's my favorite? Charlie Brown. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Where Linus comes out on the stage and says, "Lights, please." Because Charlie Brown is asking a very good question. What is this all about? What is this all about? And so he asks this question, what is this all about? And remember what Linus says in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. He quotes this. He says this. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom He is pleased." Now, I like that a lot because so many times we watch television shows or we watch Christmas specials or we watch all these different things and we don't hear a single word of the gospel. But I like the fact that Charlie Brown brought up the gospel. But folks, I want you to know this, that Christmas should not be ignored. And I'm telling you that because you're going to need to understand this. Christmas is not a holiday to be ignored. Easter is not a holiday to be ignored. Primarily because there are people that the only time that they see the inside of a church building is at Christmas and at Easter. And too oftentimes, those same people, the only time that they have any semblance of how a Christian should be is when they see you. Manny on Wednesday spoke about the Christmas spirit and how people should act that way all year round. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Some people shouldn't act that way all year round. Because I've seen the Christmas spirit in people honking horns, yelling at you, pushing and shoving, trying to get to the best deals for the best gifts to give to their children or to their grandchildren or to their husbands or wives. And they don't act anything the way a Christian should act. That's not the Spirit. Remember our lesson on the Spirit? Remember our three lessons that I gave to you about the Holy Spirit? Peace, love, joy. Where's that? Where is it? Well, it should be year-round. But too often times it's push and shove, get out of the way. And at this time of year, don't drive down Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. Just don't do it. It's not a good idea. And so avoid that road, okay? Avoid it. Because if you're trying to go down the street at Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith this time of year and you can see your destination and your destination may be a block away, it's going to take you at least 15 minutes to get to that turn. Just don't, or more. Do not drive down Rogers Avenue. Just don't do it. Avoid those places, okay? My wife, and I'm really appreciative of her in this regard, she gets all of her Christmas shopping done before Thanksgiving. Yay to her. That means I don't have to go out during the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That also means that Black Friday is a relaxing day for me. I don't have to go out and fight the crowds and get the best deals and all these other things. Folks, I want you to realize something. Christmas is an opportunity for us to spread the gospel. And I know many of you have not thought of it in that regard. But I want to start out this morning looking at something very specific. This is Paul in Athens. Now remember the Greek people. Greek people, first off, I want to give you a little historical background. They feared their gods. Their goal was to stay away from their gods and not do anything to make them mad. Because they believed that if they made their gods mad, what would happen would be that they would be punished in some way. They didn't look for salvation from their gods. They didn't look for help from their gods. They simply stood back and tried to avoid them. And so what they did was, they would come up with all these different types of gods, and they would have to build a temple for each one of them. Every one of their gods had to have a temple. Because we don't want to make any of them mad, because if we make any of them mad, they're going to come down and punish us. So every one of their gods had to have a temple. So if we're looking in Acts chapter 17, what's happening is Paul is walking down the street in Athens. And he's seen all these temples that they've got built. And he said to the people of Athens, he says, "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in all respects. All these temples, all these monuments are built everywhere, up and down the street. And I want you to know that these people in Athens were very intelligent people of their time. They were philosophers. They were astronomers. They were mathematicians. They were writers. These were people that were very intelligent. So much so that when Rome conquered Greece, they used the Greek people to teach their children because they realized how intelligent these people were. And they had all these great monuments that they had built to all these different gods." But as Paul walked down the street, he saw a special temple. This temple was entitled to the unknown God. Now this is important. Because remember I said the Greeks tried really hard not to make any of their gods angry with them. And they had hundreds of gods and hundreds of temples. And they had all these things built, but they were afraid that they might be leaving one out. And so in order to appease the one that they left out, they built their own special temple to the unknown God. And he says to them, "Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. This I proclaim to you." I went and got my teeth cleaned this week. No, that's not fun. But I want you to know, I've got a really good girl that cleans my teeth. She does a great job, and I really like her. And she asked me, she said, "What's your sermon going to be on?" And I said, "It's going to be Take Them From Where They Are." That's the title. Take Them From Where They Are. And she said, "Well, what does that mean?" And I said, "Well, you know, you only have people that come to church oftentimes on Christmas and Easter and stuff." And she said, "Yeah, the CEOs. Christmas and Easter occupiers." CEOs. I said, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "You know, those people, they come to church on Christmas and Easter. And the reason why they come to church oftentimes on Christmas and Easter is because they believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ. But that's where it stops. Now remember what James said about those who believe? Even the who? Even the demons believe. Okay? So belief is not the end all. It's not the be all. It's the beginning. Those people believe in Jesus Christ. Those people believe in God. And so Paul tells them, these people in Athens who built this temple for the unknown God, he tells them, says, look, I want you to see something. You worship a God that you do not know, that you do not understand. Let me teach you about that unknown God. I have another example here. The Ethiopian eunuch. I love this story. The Ethiopian is a proselyte. He's not a Jew. He's from Ethiopia. But he's traveling in his chariot, which means that he was very wealthy to begin with. He's traveling in a chariot, and he also has something that he's reading along the way. He's on his way to Jerusalem to do what? To worship. Very good. He is on his way to Jerusalem to worship. And Philip joins himself, being led by the Spirit, Philip joins himself with this Ethiopian eunuch. And he says to this Ethiopian eunuch, he says, do you understand what you read? And the eunuch responds and he says to him, he says, how can I unless someone guide me? And notice what it says in verse 35 of Acts chapter 8. Philip began from where he was reading and taught him about Jesus Christ. He began from where he was. Just like Paul said to Athens, the people of Athens, the Greeks, just like Paul said to them, let me teach you about this unknown God that you worship. Philip says to the Ethiopian eunuch, let me teach you about what Isaiah the prophet is talking about and who he's talking about and who Jesus was. And remember what took place. It says, as they went on their way, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, he said, look, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said to him, if you believe, you shall. And the greatest line that Ethiopian could have ever said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember what you must do in order to be baptized. You must repent and you must believe. There's two requirements. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. And so in that, he confessed, notice that also, it's in there. He confessed that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And so Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. And Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when the eunuch came up out of the water, he saw Philip no more, but went on his way doing what? That is the key. He went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he had found salvation. He had found that which he was looking for. And I want you to know there's hundreds of people right here in Poto, Oklahoma that are looking for salvation. This is a great time when they come up and they buy those nativity scenes. which have the three wise men that weren't there for about 2 years. But anyway, y'all remember all my stories, you know. They have those three wise men, and they're buying this nativity scene, and you could be just like Paul in Athens. Let me teach you about Jesus. You could be just like Philip with the Ethiopian. Let me teach you about Jesus. Do you understand what you worship? Do you understand where you are? Do you understand the salvation that comes from His death, His burial, and His resurrection? I have one more good example. There are others. But for time, I have one more good example. It's Apollos. Apollos was evidently, by the scripture, a great speaker. And there were people that were following Apollos because he was such a good speaker. But Apollos did not know about the baptism of Jesus Christ. He knew about the baptism of John. And so he starts out teaching people about the baptism of John. But what happens? Aquila and Priscilla happens. They realize that he needed to understand more. That he needed to go from where he is to a better place. And so from that place, they explain to him the way of God more accurately, more excellently, to where he left them and taught the baptism of Jesus Christ. Apollos was a great teacher. He was a great individual in which he desired to do God's will. But he didn't know everything. So what happened? Somebody taught him. Folks, there's a lot of people out there in this world today. There's a lot of people in Porto, Oklahoma, who desire to do God's will. But for one reason or another, they don't know everything. They don't know about baptism. They don't know about the saving power that comes through Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that Christmas is a day that the doors open wide to where we should spend our time teaching people a more excellent way. We should spend our time teaching people about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We should spend our time teaching people about baptism because the doors are open. Now, I may have told you this story, but there's a lot of you here that have not heard it before, so I'm going to tell it again. And if you've heard it before, just let it go in another ear. But back before I was preaching full time and I was actually a principal, I went to a basketball game over in Alma at their new arena. Some of y'all have heard this story before. There were some people sitting behind me at the basketball game. And I was listening to what they had to say. They were talking about whether or not they believed in God. And the elderly lady, who had to be the grandmother, made the statement that she didn't believe in God anymore because she had seen something on the History Channel that kind of showed her that there was no God. Okay? Now, I'm sitting in front of them. I have a master's degree in history. I'm a very strong believer. I preach from time to time. But I didn't get involved in their conversation. Now that still bothers me to this day. Because the door opened and there was nobody anywhere close that was better qualified to talk to them about Jesus Christ than I was. And I didn't get involved. I was at a basketball game. I wasn't ready. But one thing's for sure, I will never let that opportunity pass again. If that opportunity comes about, I will speak out. I will give them my background in history. I will tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Folks, Christmas is that opportunity. And so even though we know this isn't the time of year Jesus was born, I'm sure. We don't know the exact date. We don't even know the exact year. We have no idea about those things. There's even some question about whether or not we should even celebrate Christmas as being part of Christ's birth. And I understand that. I understand that. But I want you to look at Christmas as a different way. Today, when you leave this building, I want you to look at Christmas as an opportunity to teach the gospel to those people out there that do not know what they serve. To those people out there that do not know what they worship. There's hundreds of them. Let's use this time of year when everybody's watching those Christmas specials, everybody's singing those Christmas songs about Jesus' birth, everybody is thinking about Jesus Christ and Mary and Joseph. Let's use this time to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, the opportunity's here. Let's go through that door and use it. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want you to come while together we stand and sing.